each and every one. I know we have some visitors in the audience today, and so we encourage you to fill out a visitor's card so that we can have an account of your visit with us. Even if you have been here maybe once before, still it's good to know that you are, I guess, a repeat visitor. And Michael and Wes, I'm sure, will take care of that. I would like to say that I'm encouraged because of what this congregation has done. You know, Mike and Wes and the leadership here on the fifth Sunday of every month that has a fifth Sunday. That's the reason why I'm standing here, and Mike or Wes is not standing here. They allow other brothers that would like to speak, that would like to preach. They allow that opportunity, and so I'm thankful to them for that, and likewise are always giving honor to God because he has blessed me with the privilege of being able to stand before you. I know other brothers, whenever they have an opportunity to teach and preach God's word, look at it as a privilege. It's an honor because God has given us such a charge in his word that we go into all the world and preach the gospel. So we should never take this opportunity lightly. And truly, I am indebted to God for what he has allowed me to learn from his word and share. And I just ask that you continue to pray for me as we all struggle together through this life. I have to say, I'm an old school preacher. So I had never learned PowerPoint. So what I'm going to do is old school PowerPoint. And I'm going to write on the chalkboard. So we're going to prayerfully, something that that I say this morning will encourage you. For those of you that are visiting, this year we have been focusing on the title of Fulfilling Our Purpose in the Lord. And so my lesson this morning is kind of geared in that vein. And this quarter we've been talking about fulfilling our purpose in the home. And so I'm gonna use in the home as well as in life in general as we consider the topic for this morning. I appreciate Kevin, and Kevin knows over the past couple months I've been trying to get his name, I always get him confused with his brother Kenny. But I appreciate him reading Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, into your hearing on this morning. As we consider fulfilling our purpose in the Lord, we're going to look at characteristics of a Christian. And so, in Romans chapter 12, for those of you maybe that are not, that don't study or haven't had an opportunity to study thoroughly, the book of Romans, oftentimes by scholars, by commentators, is considered almost like the Christian constitution, if you will. I've heard that term being used. You know, I've said myself, I don't want anybody to think I'm trying to come up with some new doctrine. But in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, it's almost like a Christian anthem to me. You know, we have our national anthem. But what Paul tells us is something that he encourages every Christian. And when you look, he says, I beseech, which means I beg of you, I urge you. It's important that you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And so as we consider, it looks like this marker doesn't have to shift. As we consider characteristics of a Christian, fulfilling my purpose with the Lord, maybe in my home or in my life, the first characteristic, a Christian needs to be, and he is, converted. And so when we talk about being converted, similar to the word repent, it just means to change. And so my former thinking is that maybe I live for myself, or I live for the world. But now that I'm a Christian, I'm converted to what the Bible has taught me, and so as a result, I now live for Jesus Christ. And so that's in essence what Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's that conversion. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In Acts chapter 3, in verse number 19, Peter said, repent ye therefore and be that your sins may be blotted out. And so there is a change that we have to make in our lives if we ought to be pleasing to Almighty God. The second characteristic that we have is a Christian must be humble. A Christian must be humble. If we look at verse number 3 in Romans chapter 12, the Bible reads, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith." What Paul is telling the church at Rome, and even now for you and I, 2,000 years later, is that we ought to be humble before God. We ought to think humble. We shouldn't think of ourselves higher than we are. James chapter 4, verse number 10 tells us that we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord that He may lift us up. And so as we consider being humble, the word itself means to be modest. It means to be unpretentious. To be of a lowly estate. That doesn't mean that we should have low self-esteem. Because if we're a child of God, and if we truly have been converted, then we ought to have high self-esteem as a Christian. And we ought to be able to let every man know what God has done for us. And people say, well, I can't talk to someone. I can't do evangelism. The only thing that God expects you to do as a Christian is to tell people what you did in order to accept Jesus Christ. And so you can evangelize in that sense by letting them know that I'm a child of God and that God came into my life as a result of my studying the Word of God. I heard what the Word said and it taught something to me. And as a result of that, I then responded. I repented of my sins. I believed what I heard in the Word. I confess the sweetest name known to mortal tongue. That's the Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then I put Him on in baptism as the Bible teaches, as the examples in the Bible teach us, as Jesus said when He was here. And so we as a Christian, we're to be converted and we're to be humble. And so as we consider fulfilling our purpose in the Lord. Now, you know, these characteristics that I'm going to give you, it's not an exhaustive list. There's probably many more. But I thought these were maybe appropriate for our consideration of the lesson on this morning. And so the next characteristic. Fan here is blowing, so I'm going to watch my papers. A Christian has to be responsible. A Christian must be responsible. Now, you know, as we take trips, we drive down up and down the highway, we got to go to rest areas. I'm going to rest here for a little bit because this is important. As a Christian, we are responsible to God. The word responsible means dependable. It means obliged to answer or respond or having a duty. And so if you're responsible, God is going to expect certain things of you. And so, I don't say this to step on anybody's toes, but I want to say it because it needs to be said. We're responsible for being in service, for being in Bible study, for being in fellowship. These are things that God makes us responsible for as a result of us coming into the body. And God would hope that we would have a desire to do these things because of what He has done for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. You know, we read in the Bible the things that the early Christians, the apostles, the disciples did, which showed their responsibility to God. And so for you and I, 2,000 years later, we're responsible as well. If you look at our scripture text in Romans chapter 12, if you look at verses number 4 through 8, we start to see some of the responsibility. In verse number for he says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing, this is where the responsibility comes in, you see. He says, having gifts differing according to the grace that is given unto us. Whether prophecy, let us prophesy. If you have the gift of prophecy, then you should prophesy. According to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth, on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. And so we're responsible to God based on what he has given us. God knows what he has given us. We read in the Bible, Jesus told the story, the parable of the talent. Those men were responsible for doing what they could with the talent they had. And we see the end result of that story, that the one who thought that he would just take and hide it, didn't do anything with it, he was irresponsible. And he was punished as a result. And so as a Christian, as we fulfill our purpose in the Lord, in our home, it could be anywhere we are, in our lives in general, we're responsible. And you know, when people look to us, they should see responsibility. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As a result of what people see in us, they will want to do the will of God as well. And so we as Christians, we are in fact responsible to God. The next characteristic, a Christian is inspired. We're inspired by Almighty God. We're inspired through the Word of God. All that word means is to move with divine influence. And so if we are in fact inspired, we have to be inspired through the Word of God. If you look in Romans chapter 12, specifically in verse number 11, it says, not slothful in business, it says, fervent in spirit. Well, fervent just means, it means emotionally intense. It means passionate. It means that, you know, our desire is to do the will of God. The only way we get that, we're not going to get that from the New York Times. We're not going to get that from looking at the news on TV, because we know, you see, if it's a half an hour segment, you get 25 minutes of depression and thieving and robbing and stealing, and then the last minute they give you, oh, and then the Good Samaritan comes out. You're not getting that from TV. But from the Word of God, you're going to get your fervent in spirit. You're going to get your desire to do the will of God. So as we read the Word of God, we see that God has provided us the inspiration we need. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21, we see the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God were moved as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so when we're inspired, we are in fact moved to do those things that God would see pleasing in our lives. When we're inspired, we're faithful to God. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then you know what? You know one thing about it, if you take a glass of water and you fill it to the brim, nothing else can get in it. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. If we're filled with the Holy Spirit, then there's no opportunity for evil to get in. And so then we're able to conduct ourselves in such a way that God would be pleased with us. The next characteristic, as we consider fulfilling our purpose, is we're a servant. And you know, most of the time people look at that term and they see, oh, that's a demeaning term. But as Christians, we're serving the Lord. Look at verse number 11, the latter part of verse number 11 in Romans chapter 12. He says, fervent in spirit, but then he says, serving the Lord. Our desire as a Christian is to serve the Lord. Drop down to verse number 13. He says, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. That's a servant. And you know the beautiful thing about us being Christians is that we willingly serve the Lord. We do this willingly. It's not like in maybe days past where people did it and were oppressed by doing it. We do it of a willing nature. We want to serve the Lord. We want to do and help our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want to pray and to give because we know what God has done for us. And because God has given to us, we willingly serve Him to the best of our ability. And so, let's turn over to Romans chapter 6. And let's look at what the Bible, what Paul told the church of Rome. There's so many practical verses, scriptures in Romans that can help us in our Christian walk. As we talk about fulfilling our purpose, our friends, our neighbors, in our community, they should see us as someone who is different from the world because of our, oftentimes, our service that we give, helping someone. Have you ever helped someone and they turn and look at you like you had three heads? You tell them, I'm a Christian. I'm a child of God. God has taught me. And you know what? I love it. I love doing that. And because in this society, it's all about get all you can all you get. You know, step on who you can to reach to the top of the ladder of the work world. But as a Christian, we don't see life as that. We look at serving one another because we know Christ said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. And so we're striving to be like Christ. In Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse number 16, he says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. And so we no longer serve sin. We no longer serve Satan. We no longer even serve ourselves. We now serve the Lord. And so as a characteristic of being a Christian, we indeed are servants. We do it of a willing nature. The next characteristic, a Christian must have temperance. And if you're anyone like me, I think in the month of May, work alone, I did almost 1,500 miles on the road. I could lose my temperance driving on the road. Driving, dealing with people on the road. You know, having road rage and all that. And I pray every day that God give me peace of mind when I drive on the road. Because, I mean, you know, you got people tooting at you and, you know, they're giving you the finger and doing all these things. But we have to be a Christian. We have to exemplify characteristics of a Christian. And so all temperance is just having self-control. As a child of God, we have to maintain self-control. When you go into the office, that person sitting next to you, you come in, they woke up on the wrong side of bed, having a bad morning, and they raise their voice and start screaming at you. Now, do you go toe for toe with them? That's not showing temperance. But when you say, okay, we'll see how we can handle the situation, that shows self-control. I'm not going to allow Satan to tempt me into some situation that God would disapprove of. But you know what? It's the same thing. As we're talking in this morning about the home. As parents, we got to show temperance. Who do you think is the wiser of you and your children? Or maybe I'll say, who should be the wiser? It should be the parent. It should be the mother and father. Because you've lived longer than your children. Your children don't have the experience that you have. And so when your children get upset, does that mean you try to scream louder than them? We've got to show self-control. And you know what? Over a period of time, when they get upset, when things don't happen their way, you know what's going to happen? They're going to start to exhibit temperance. They're going to have self-control. You know why? Because they're following your example. That's the way God planned it. So if we do it and we are an influence with what we do, people are going to see that same thing, they're going to be able to have that same self-control. I would encourage you also to look in Galatians chapter 5 when it talks about the fruits of the Spirit. Guess what? One of the fruits of the Spirit is temperance. And so as a child of God, as a Christian, that's a characteristic that God is pleased with. The next characteristic.
You mean to tell me I got to have integrity?
We got to have integrity. You know what that is? That's just, we just got to be honest. I mean, as a Christian, you would think that we are going to be honest. When I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. When I say to my children, Daddy's going to get you this if you do this. If you get A's and B's in school. And then when they get A's and B's, guess what? They're reminding you of your every word. Daddy, you said that if I got all A's and B's, you're going to take me here or you're going to give me this. And then what happens when we don't do it? We show a lack of integrity. We don't let them know that what I say is actually what I'm going to do. We're not being honest to them. If we had no intention of doing that, then why did we say it? And so we have to recognize that integrity. All integrity is, in addition to honesty, it's moral soundness. Just doing what we say we're going to do. Not being a hypocrite. You know, it's amazing that in my line of work, I do insurance investigations. And I go to homes, I go to areas that I wouldn't want to send my enemy there. And I listen to people talk. And I hear parents cursing at their children. And then they wonder why the children are cursing back at them. They're just learning and spitting out the language that you're teaching them. You haven't told them to curse, but by using that language, guess what? They're saying it's acceptable. It's okay. Because they look at you as being the person that I want to emulate. I got to do like mommy and dad. And so we have to be mindful of the things we said. We have to show integrity. In Titus chapter 2, we were looking at that downstairs. It's a very profound statement that Paul says to Titus. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1. He says, speak thou the things that become sound doctrine. That means if I say it to you, then I need to be able to back that thing up with Scripture. So if I'm teaching somebody, if I'm teaching my children, and I'm telling them that, you know, you need to do God's will. You need to go to church. You need to be in Bible study. But yet, I don't exemplify what I'm teaching them. How am I being an example of integrity? And so here, Titus is telling us that even when we say something in our classes, we need to make sure that we can back up what we're telling them in Scripture. We shouldn't just be saying things out in the air and hoping that, okay, well, they're going to accept it. Because when we get to the judgment bar of God, He's going to judge us according to His words. He's not going to judge anybody according to what somebody told you. And so that's why 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 is vital. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And a preacher said this a long time ago. If there's a right way of dividing the word of truth, there has to be a wrong way. You know, we don't want to talk about the wrong way, but we need to understand that there's a right way of discerning the word of truth. And that's what we want to be focused on. But by knowing what the Bible says, we can know when that wrong way is taught to us or told to us. And so we know what is right and what is wrong in the sight of Almighty God. The next characteristic of a Christian. And this is a big one. Accountable. A Christian has to be. guess what? Whether you want to, whether you like it or not, we are going to be accountable. Everyone is going to give an account of the things you've done in your body, whether good or evil, according to God's word. And so you as a Christian, you have to be accountable. Now, this goes hand in hand almost with responsibility. See, the thing that a lot of people don't recognize, though, is, see, accountable means to be responsible. But just because you're responsible don't necessarily mean you're accountable. I'm going to give you a reason. If I tell my sons, you're responsible for putting out the trash, and they go ahead, they put out the trash, and if the cops come by or the town comes by and they say, well, you sat your trash out on the wrong day, guess what? I'm getting the ticket. I'm the one that's accountable for the trash being put out. They're responsible, but the accountability comes to me. And so, a lot of people don't recognize that. You got to make sure that we understand. Just because you ask someone to do something doesn't mean that you have absolved yourself in your accountability. And we're all accountable to God because God is the one that has told us what we should do. Let's go back over to Titus. Let's look at what Titus says. Titus says in chapter 2, verse number 2, the aged men, they're responsible for being sober, for being grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Likewise, the aged women, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. See, the accountability of that list for the aged men, we're accountable to God for doing those things. For the aged women, you're accountable to God for doing that list that applies to you. And then guess what, young people? I haven't said anything to you guys yet, huh? Bible says, young men, in verse number 6, likewise exhort to be sober-minded. We're all accountable to God. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 1 and 2 tells children, you're responsible for honoring your father and mother. You're responsible for obeying your parents. Guess what? Fathers. Paul told the church at Ephesus, he says, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture, the admonition of the Lord. That's our responsibility. And I'll say this, and it's a sad statement. There are a lot of men out there that aren't living with their families. Guess what? They don't take away their accountability. Because the bottom line is, if you're a father, you father children, you're a husband, you left your family, you're still going to be accountable to God. But as a Christian, we should know that. We want to make sure that we're accountable. So that the world around us, as we talk about fulfilling our purpose, part of our fulfillment is letting God know that I'm going to step up to the challenge of my accountability so that He can approve of my life, so that He can approve of my actions. And so that the things that I've learned in His Word, that they're not in vain. And we know they're not in vain, but in my life, they could be if I don't follow. But as a Christian, trying to keep the characteristics of God, this is what God would have us to do. And then the last characteristic that I want to share with you today is, as a Christian, we are a new creature. And basically, that takes us back. It takes us back to our scripture text. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. See, as a result of what we have learned in the Bible, as a result of hearing the Word of God, believing what we heard, Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2 tells us, That it's not that God's hand is short that he can't save us, not that his ear is hard that he can't hear us, but it's our iniquities that have separated us from God. We understand that. We believe it. As a result of believing it, we have to do something. See, the word belief, the word faith, those are action words. You know, it's one thing to say, I believe it, but then to just sit there in the pew and don't do nothing. But when we say, I believe it, and then that belief takes on action, we then put that, we show the faith that we have in God. And so, as a result of believing, we then move. And so it moves us because of what we believe to repent of our sins. And so I say, I'm not going to live like that anymore. I'm going to change. I'm going to ultimately be converted. And so what Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we present your bodies a living sacrifice. As a new creature in God, we present our bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so as we consider fulfilling our purpose in the Lord, fulfilling our purpose so far we've talked about, fulfilling our purpose in the home. We talked about fulfilling our purpose last quarter in the church. We as Christians have to recognize that there are characteristics. And again, this is not an exhaustive list. But you know what this list does? It does give us the Christian characteristics. They helped me out to prepare this message. So. And so as a result of showing forth in our home, in the church, Christian characteristics, as Jesus said, we're going to let our light show shine. Tongue twister. So that others will see us. And we don't get the glory. God gets the glory. He's the one that gave his only begotten Son. He's the one that was without Jesus for 33 and a half years. He's the one that was in glory while his Son was down here being rejected of men. Being bruised, being beaten, being spit upon, had a crown of thorns on his head. He's the one that had his Son nailed to the cross. He gets the glory because Jesus became a conquering hero over Satan, hell, and the grave. The benefit we get is living in the victory of knowing that Jesus accomplished his Father's will. And if I am faithful unto death, I'll receive a crown of righteousness that fades not away. Brothers and sisters, the charge is yours. Are you going to exemplify those Christian characteristics? As we talk about fulfilling our purpose in the home, are your children going to see that you are striving to be a child of God? You're striving to do what God would have you to do. Well, that's the one way of guaranteeing, or at least being able to sleep at night knowing that I've done my part. Because in Proverbs, Solomon says, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's older, not depart from it. If we're showing those characteristics in our home, our children have an opportunity to have a sound foundation. So that even though they may struggle, you know, they're going to go away to college and, you know, for parents, it's an unnerving time for us. We don't know what they're experiencing. But if they have a solid foundation, guess what? As Solomon says, they will not depart from it. They may stray a little, but when they're older, they're going to realize. The prodigal son, Michael taught that message a couple Sunday nights ago. The prodigal son, he was considered hopeless. But you know what? He came back. And the beauty is, when we stray away, and for you that are here, if you're a Christian, maybe you strayed away. Maybe you haven't been exemplifying some of these characteristics. Again, this is not an exhaustive list. Maybe there are other things that you know that you're not doing that you should be doing as a Christian. You're encouraged. When we stand and sing the song, that's selected. Come down. Let the church know. We'll pray for you.
We'll encourage you. That's what we're here. We talked about being servants. That's what we are servants. That's what we're here for.
If you're not a child of God and you're here,
we would encourage you. Recognize God paid an awesome price for your salvation. You're living beneath your privilege if you're not a child of God. The sad thing is, and you know, we don't like to talk about sad things, but the reality is, as Jesus said, if you die in your sins, in John chapter 8, he said, where I go, you cannot come. And so we have to recognize that we've got to get our life right now. Start putting on some of these characteristics. Again, not just these, others that are in the Bible as well. And when Jesus comes back the second time, or if God should see fit to take us out of this life, we can know that we have lived in such a way that pleases Him and glory. Whatever your situation is, if you would like to make a request, we ask that you come down. Let's together stand and sing the song.